Well, this morning we are blessed in another way. A good friend of mine, Pastor Michael Hurley, who is one of my outside elders, outside covering, he is going to be bringing the word this morning. Actually, he is Pastor Cameron's very first pastor and a great mentor to him. So it's kind of cool how God arranged this. It wasn't going to all, I didn't plan it all to happen on the same day, but obviously God did. So I'm very fortunate to have him here. And Pastor Michael, he's become a great friend and mentor to me as well. And he's a man that is a man of great integrity, great wisdom. And I know he hears from God, and I know we are going to be blessed this morning. So please welcome Pastor Michael as he comes to deliver the word this morning.
Thank you, Pastor Jimmy. I do want to mention that me being here today has nothing to do with Cameron's last day. Just want to clarify that. But it is an awesome privilege to see how life, I think it's been, I've known Cameron for 27 years or more. We were around in the same orbit at times, but God brought us together. Not in my notes today, but I just think it's pretty awesome to see how the Lord will bring relationship together. And I don't even have time to share how I first met Cameron, but God has a sense of humor and how he uses us. And so I better get to my assignment today. But it's just a blessing, Pastor Cameron, Pastor Jennifer. Just God's all over you guys. This is a word that I hear, and I'll just say this briefly. The Bible's very clear that He will refresh when we've refreshed others, and so just believe that this is going to be a season of refreshing. You can't ever outgive God. We often talk about that in the economy of money, but I believe that virtue is another great economy of our lives, and let's pray for a great deposit. I just see heaven coming upon you in this hour. Refresh, refresh, refresh. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to thank Pastors Jimmy and Jess for leading with such great faith and consistency. I want to say this, and I travel. I serve at the pleasure of MFI as a regional director. I serve on the global board and also in a region from basically just north of Vancouver, Washington, all the way up to Anchorage. We actually even have some churches possibly coming in from Fairbanks and some others. But I travel and see a lot of different churches, a lot of different pastors. But I want to say this about this house and the pastors here. They pastor with such integrity, and it's uncommon integrity. And I think that their consistency and their integrity and their love for Jesus is not just a gift to this house, but it's a gift to this city, and it's a gift to this region, it's a gift to the kingdom. Amen? And what I love about them is that they do talk about you. Not every pastor talks about their church or their people, but they do. They care about you deeply. They pray for you. They're concerned about the things that concern you. And I know that that they probably don't go to bed at night without thinking about some of you and praying for some of you. And I want to honor that they are a couple that serve in a local church that have a deep passion for the kingdom, but also for the people here in this church. And I just want to be complimentary and thank you guys for not just your friendship, but also for what you're doing in the kingdom. Can we give it up for your pastors? And by the way, I say this to our church. You want a better pastor than the pastor you have? Keep praying for the one you do have. Amen. So let's pray. Amen. Actually, on that note, let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you would help the preacher today and that you would help the congregant today. I pray that in my pitching, I would throw well, no curveball straight down the line. And I pray, Jesus, that we would help to be good catchers today, that we would know what your spirit is saying and that we would hold on to the truth of your word. We thank you that it's going to change our lives if we expect it to. We thank you that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power of Christ that works through us. So we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's talk about something that we're all familiar with, but probably haven't seen lately in a church service. I want to talk about sand. And so to do that, I would actually like to ask Pastor Jimmy to come up. How many of you think Pastor Jimmy should be the one to help me with the illustration today? All right. Pastor Jimmy, I want you to come up here. And I want to say just before he comes up, the funny thing about sand is that it's made up of so many ordinary teeny pieces that every grain seems almost insignificant, right? Can you even see? You can almost barely see. How many know that life provides us with all of sorts of interesting things? And a lot of these things are blessings. How many of you know that sand has a lot of different things? There are some blessings in it. I don't know all the things that are in here, but there are some blessings in here. And I'm going to know there's some things you just cannot see that are not a blessing. And how many of us know that life, it gives us things like our schedules? How many of you are just absolutely blessed by your schedule? If you're not blessed by your schedule, you need to pray for your schedule. How many of you know that life gives us plans? It gives us things. It gives us success. I mean, I could go on through all the things. And how many know that a lot of times what we do is as we get more life, it starts getting a little more interesting. And then you get a little bit older, and what happens? You get a little bit more life. And what happens? You keep what? I just hit 50, y'all. Look, what happens? You start getting more life. But what starts happening? You start realizing you start losing some of it. And you're trying to hold on. Now, how many know that the more you try to hold on to life, the more you feel like you're losing your grip. And then life starts shaking. And how many know that you can't? Thank you, Pastor Jimmy. Yeah, I'll vacuum later. And we're trying to hold tighter on to life, but how many know that the tighter, actually, I literally am trying to hold on to this tighter. And you know what's interesting is the more that it shakes, the more that I'm losing the grip on life. I want to say this. You never know what really matters. Let me say it one more time. You really don't know what matters until what doesn't matter gets stripped away. The call you didn't expect, I can still feel the sand. The news you didn't see coming. Am I preaching to somebody this morning? And oddly enough, I felt like this was definitely an assignment, particularly for this church today. I did not pull out another message and go, hey, this will be an easy weekend. Let's just update the names. Let's just update. Hey, but same spirit, same. I really felt like this was a word specifically for the church. And I have come under great attack this week physically just in preparation for it. So I just want you to know I'm suffering for y'all. But it's a great joy to preach for Jesus. Amen. The news you didn't see coming. The moment when control slips right through your hands. I had one of these moments. Actually, I've had many. But I've had one of those moments somewhere in the air over Montana just before the crash. When everything went quiet. And yet peace was not loud. Have you ever experienced that? A moment where there's nothing left to manage, nothing left to fix, nothing left to hold on to. And that's when I learned this valuable lesson. Peace does not live where control does. Are you listening this morning? Peace does not live where control does. It lives on the other side of it. Let me say that one more time. Peace doesn't live where control lives. It lives on the other side of it. And this is the secret that the Apostle Paul, I believe, discovered, and it was proven in a prison cell. Peace isn't found in control. It is found in surrender. And when your heart finally surrenders, whoo, you find what really matters. I'm going to say that phrase over and over and over. When you leave, you're going to be thinking this thought, what really matters? I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, what really matters? One more time. Now get a little Southern Baptist in you. Whatever that matters. You will find what really matters, and you'll stop being ruled by what doesn't. And maybe that's what God's been trying to show us today. Have you ever noticed that no one wants to die? I mean, mostly the healthy ones. No one wants to die, yet we all live like death will never come. We act like the sun will always arise for us, like tomorrow is guaranteed. But down deep, we've bought into a myth that death is for other people, not for us. And before you feel like, man, where's he going? This will encourage you by the end. Yeah, we don't live with a death wish, right? But I do believe this. We do live with a control wish. We're not trying to die. We're just trying to make sure nothing else gets out of our hands. Did you notice how much I really was trying to hold life, but it just sometimes slips through us? And I believe that what happens is that this begins to distract us from what really matters. We want to live long, right? We want to stay comfortable. And to the person that says, well, I don't care about comfort. Mm-hmm, sure. Let me interview your family. And we really do trust God. I'm not trying to downplay the fact that we all love God. We have an affinity for God. We trust the Lord. But sometimes without realizing it, we start gripping sand and wondering why peace keeps slipping away. Isn't that the tragedy of control, the illusion of control? When peace slips away from our hands, we begin to fill them with activity. Isn't that right? We try to outrun the ache, outdare the fear. We move faster, we risk larger, bigger, we laugh louder, and anything we can do to just simply laugh it out because we want to drown it out, the quiet truth that we're all not in control. And either way, we're still chasing the same illusion that we're the ones that are in control. But the Bible that you and I read, like James, it says this. James chapter 4, verse 13. Look here, you who say today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and we'll stay there for a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How many of that sounds like a good plan? How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? How many think that's an important question? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here for a little, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. This isn't God limiting us. It's not holding us back. No, I believe that surrendering to his will actually is how we step into his peace that control could never give you. We don't need control. Let me say this. We don't need control. Actually, maybe you need to look to your neighbor and say, I don't need control. Some of you are fighting back the response. Mm-hmm. Do I agree with you in a spirit of faith? We don't need control when the one you have is already in control. Isn't it funny that what we call out of control, God calls surrender? We have the outrunners. Who are the outrunners, you may be asking? Good question. They buy organic. They drive the safest cars. They download the latest apps for fitness and for health and somehow think kale can outsmart mortality. Some of you are like, whatever, I like that. Praise God. Then you have the out-darers. They have anxieties too. Hidden behind the adrenaline, speed numbs, right? Noise distracts. But it's not courage. It's control, just with better branding. But what really matters? It isn't outrunning, and it's not out-daring. It's surrender. That's my prayer today, church, that we would recognize that you cannot control this life, and that Jesus deeply desires for each of us to live in a kind of peace, because our peace is associated to our surrender to him. How much more does Jesus desire, who is the Prince of Peace, to give you that peace? Because that means you're fully surrendered. I just don't have peace. I don't know why he won't give me peace. Because you're still trying to outrun and outdare and outcontrol the God who desires to give you peace. It's surrender. It's where Paul found peace. He didn't just make peace with life. He made peace with death. And death isn't random, by the way. It's appointed. You cannot move the appointment just because it's inconvenient. I know you type A's think that, you know, that's the wrong thing. You just call your secretary, please move it to the next week or the next year, or just take it off the schedule, amen, and send a notification to everybody else, I'm not going to die next week, amen? Hebrews 9:27 says this, each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment. Not in my notes, but I thought I would share that Job states this in 14:5. You have decided the length of our lives. You know how many months we will live, and we are not given a minute longer. So if the day is appointed, I want you to know this as well. If the day is appointed, so is grace. So is his peace. So is everything we need for godliness in this life. And our peace isn't knowing the when, it is knowing who. Remember, he's the Prince of Peace. Amen. Psalms 31:15 says, my future is in your hands. Let's say that together. My future is in your hands. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's not in yours. Some of you are like, I disagree. I've got all sorts of plans for you. 20, almost 8 years of marriage has taught me I'm not in control of anything. I'm under no illusions. Isaiah 26:3, perfect, absolute peace surrounds those whose imaginations are consumed with you. They confidently trust in you. When peace anchors deeper than control, even death cannot shake it. And that's where Paul's zip code was in his heart. He had an unshakable peace. And how many of you want to have an unshakable peace because it's deeper in your heart and in your soul than any desire to control circumstances and outcomes? And this is why when we see in Paul's writings, Philippians is actually a book that I studied extensively in university. I think that if you're to look at my Greek text, I have a Greek Bible. It's this big, and you see it's almost funny. It's like brown pages in the middle of the Bible, and it's like, what the heck happened there? Sounds weird, but I'm not meaning to be weird. It's just that you literally open it, and there's Philippians. I had to live in that, not because just the university required me to do that, but because I have dealt with the issue of anxiety my whole life, and I've overcome many times in my life, but I want you to know today that there is a peace that can come to you, and it's not a thing, it's in the person Jesus. And I pray that you would come to know him in such a way that you give him the control, that you might actually begin to find what matters most is nothing that we've been trying to hold on to except Jesus. And Paul, he writes in the Philippian to the Philippians in chapter 1, there's something that hits so different. And just for a moment, you think about the context of which Paul is writing to the Philippian church. He's arrested. He's under Roman custody. He's awaiting trial, and he's in chains. He's under guard. Some believe that he was actually chained to another person, to the guard, and he's staring down the very real possibility of execution. And yet, Paul, you know what he's not doing? He's not panicking. He's not stressing. He's not anxious. He's not popping pills. And I got nothing about, I'm not trying to be negative about anybody that needs some medicine. Don't hear that. Don't talk to Pastor Jimmy afterwards. He was all negative about that. What I want you to know is Paul was not anxious. And so I'm like, Lord, I need a download on whatever Paul was doing. I need his heart in my life. He's peaceful. And he says this in Philippians 1:20, for I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed and that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. And I trust, what is he trusting? And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ whether I live or die. Let me just speak for myself. I'm not going to speak for anybody else. I don't really generally go around, I'm so excited about death. See, if I was writing that, I'd be like, and I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ as I live. Come on. Am I the only one human in here? For me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even, can we say this word together? Better. I put a question mark. What? Y'all, time out, Paul. What are you smoking? Who talks like that? Paul does. Why? Why? Paul wasn't peaceful because life was easy. He was peaceful because his focus was eternal. Come on, we got to start lifting our eyes. Amen. Start lifting our eyes. And he found what really matters. See, peace doesn't just come from positive thinking or perfect circumstances. It comes from surrender. Paul's letter to the Philippians reads like a map, really, of what matters most. Over and over and over. In fact, if you're to look at, there's a lot of different subjects that you can preach on peace, and I've preached on them many, many times over many years, over many series. And you can talk about prayer. You can talk about forgiveness. There's like this whole, you know, 9 major things that I don't have time to download. But the reality is that this is probably the least spoken one of. It's just like literally surrendering to his eternal plan, which is this is really short and eternity is very long. And Paul keeps circling back to this. I didn't see this before, but he keeps circling back in Philippians. He keeps circling back to this thought. He talks a lot about what, he even uses the language, what matters most or what really matters. And I'm thinking, man, this is a key to how Paul lived. Yeah, we can point to all the other ones that are easy to identify, prayer and forgiveness, and yes, surrender is a part of that. But this eternal view and plan, and I was just thinking about this. When you know what matters, and I want you to hear this, you stop being ruled by what doesn't. That's why he could sit in chains and still write with joy, because his peace wasn't situational. It was surrender, amen? And it was knowing, it was in surrendering to the why he lived and who he lived for. And I believe that our peace is going to come when we are fully surrendered to the God of peace. His name is Jesus. Come on. It's not a death wish. It's a surrender wish to what really matters. In 2022, I had a moment that invited me. How many of you ever had moments that invited you to surrender? Come on, raise your hand. Just look around. And if you haven't had that, you better just start saying, Jesus, please give me the moment right now. I just surrender to you, because you never know how the package is going to come in. For me, it was on a chartered flight over Glacier National Park. My wife and I and our kids, we had another friend, it was another charter plane. Weather was not super great, but it was good enough to fly. The ceiling was low, and we decided, hey, let's take this charter flight. I can't remember the name of the road, Going to the Sun Road or something like that. You have to like almost fight for it, like street fighting, to be able to get on that road, but we didn't do that. So we took a plane. And we decide we're going to fly over Glacier National Park. Now, my wife and I, as I said, with the kids, we get in the plane, and the pilot says this. He goes, hey, at any moment that you don't want to be in this plane, I'll kick you out. No, I'm joking. I'll take you back to the airport. I'm all about your comfort. And so right after he says those words, my wife has a full-blown panic attack, y'all. She's in the front seat, and she's like trying to strip off, not her clothes, everything that's holding her back. And she's like wanting off the plane. And I'll be honest, I was not thinking really spiritual thoughts of concern for her. I was thinking, sweet Jesus, I get to go in the front. So I was like, I get to be up with the pilot. And so she gets out, and I'm not even, you know, you ever have those husband moments where you're like, man, that was a bad husband moment or spouse, you know? And so anyway, she gets out, and we start flying, and we're having a beautiful time. In fact, we got some pictures, I think, for you to see of just some of the, there's my family, there's myself and my son Isaiah, Hannah, and Bella. This is back in 2022, so 3 years ago. You can go to some of the next pictures as well. This is some of the views that we're seeing. It's absolutely gorgeous. And so as we're flying, we started hitting some turbulence, and the pilot was like, hey, you know, I think maybe we should climb a little bit, because when we start getting back into the foothills, the cloud cover was changing, and we started hitting turbulence, as I said. So we climbed up above the turbulence, and how many know that sometimes turbulence is never fun, but especially in a small plane, it's like you're like Disneyland, the one you didn't want to be at, though. And so and we're flying down, and I'm like, I start noticing something. I've been in a lot of small planes since I was raised in the San Juan Islands, one of the major modes of transportation to get around the islands. And I'm like, the pilot says, can you check the instruments on your side? And I'm thinking, I don't know what I'm looking at. He goes, tap that. He goes, what does it say? I don't even remember what I told him. But the next thing I remember is, the engine sounds quiet, but the prop is going. You ever know, like, the lights are on, but no one's home? I was like, I said, is the engine running? And he goes, no. And I'm like, I just had my whole life just... I felt an instant surge of lots of energy. And I was like, what? There's no engine. And he goes, no, there's no engine. And I said, well, where are you going to land? And he goes, I don't know. Words you never want to hear a pilot say, I don't know. And he starts fumbling around with all of the instruments, and he's trying everything. He's trying to switch. And I said, where are we going to land? And he's like, he's fumbling around with things. Nothing's working. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, because I know I've been in the sand once. I've seen people take off and known that they've died in the islands over and over and over. Trees and planes do not mix. And I'm looking down, and I'm like, all I see is like clear cuts. That does not help. And timber everywhere in the foothills. We had just passed a couple minutes before the ski slopes by Whitefish. And so as we're coming down, I tell him, I said, well, where are we going to land? He goes, I don't know. And I said, and I turned back to my kids, and I looked at my son Isaiah. My daughter Bella, she was asleep. She was asleep. We should have just, obviously we survived. We should have just let her continue to sleep. Woke up, what's going on? And And so as the pilot tips the wing, he's looking down, and I'm like, where are we going to land? And he goes, I don't know. There's this little farm there. I can't make the field, but there's a little farm there, and maybe we can just glide down there. And so as he starts to tip the wing, we start flying down. We start gliding to this little road, and there's an S-curve in it, and there's power lines everywhere. And then as I'm turning back to the kids, I hear the plane saying, literally, it's saying, stall, stall, pull up. Pull up. And I'm turning back to the kids, and I'm like, Isaiah, wake your sister up. We got to pray. We got to pray. We got to. And I think sometimes what we need to have is a reality check in our lives that some of you are actually tipped over, looking down, saying, I don't know where this is going to land. And you got to tell everybody around you, come on, wake up. You got to pray. You got to pray. And so as we're starting to get down, the pilot realizes that we are not going to make it on that road. We're going to crash into the power lines. And so he takes a radical turn right for the trees. And I'm like, Jesus! I'm taking myself back to that moment, because I'm not joking. I was yelling Jesus. Yesterday, I went through all the emotions writing this sermon, because I actually started having tears come to my eyes, because you start reliving it and you're like, oh man, we almost died. And so we're looking at the trees, and all I can hear is stall, pull up, stall. And he's going, mayday, mayday, we're going down, we're going down. And I'm looking at my kids. I'm getting emotional a little bit. I'm looking at my kids. I'm like, Jesus, come on, get us through this thing. And every prayer is like this, y'all. And I don't care what you got to do in your life. Some of you need to start praying and start believing that, like, if every prayer is like a puff of wind going, Jesus, get me past this moment. Because I lost every illusion that I was in control. I'm just going to tell you, peace does not come until you are fully surrendered. Fully surrendered. Some of you are like, what happened? Literally, the trees were just right under our feet. It looked like we were going to hit the trees. The elevation was changing. And it dropped just enough that we missed the trees. We were not even 25 feet above the trees. And then we're like, oh my God, we can see the field. Oh Jesus, we can see the field. Guys, keep praying. The pilot goes, keep praying. The plane's like this, y'all. I mean, it's like, woo! We're looking at the sky now. And he goes, keep praying that we don't topple over. And we saw some outbuildings and some last trees. And then we land in a farmer's field that we never thought we could reach. Amen. Yeah. Amen. There we are. Then we hadn't seen any wildlife the entire trip. The pilot says, there's so deer. Shut your face. Begin to praise God, laugh, cry, shake. I think I had adrenaline for a week. EMTs show up after one of the kids lost their shoe in the mud. I mean, it was not a good thing. We're about a mile from the road. EMTs, fire trucks, I mean, all the emergency personnel are there, but not before my wife in a minivan from Red Aviation came to meet us. For context, Pastor Rashawn had never had a panic attack in a plane ever. In fact, we had traveled the world. She owned a hang glider, used to travel and fly off mountains with a kite strapped to her back. Rock climber. Had she been in the plane, the glide ratio would have changed sufficient to never allowed us to even get above the trees. Is God not with us, even in the moments that don't make sense to us? It was a wild summer. That was June. Had a face-to-face encounter with a black bear. That was July. In August, I was rescued by the Coast Guard off the coast of Washington in the Pacific Ocean. That night of the plane crash, I'll land the plane here soon. The night of the plane crash, we were still shaken, grateful, exhausted. The next morning was Father's Day. And that's when God began to drive this message home. He began to show me what really matters. And I saw through my son's Instagram post, the next day was Father's Day. I want to show you this post. He actually posted a picture of me as a kid with on my dog. I don't know why. That was just a random picture. And this is what he wrote, and I'll try to make through it. Happy Father's Day. When you almost die, woo, every day is a gift. Love you. You never know how much one plane ride can change your life. You may think you know someone, but you don't truly know till you're falling out of the sky in a plane. Together, at least it was together. My wife bailed a little premature. Thank you. By the way, if she ever gets off a plane, I'm going with her. The fact that the first thing he said to us was, wake up your sister and pray, made it very clear that he trusts God in all things, in life or death. And that it had a profound impact on me. I think those words will always stay close to me. Remember to be awake, vigilant, and not to forget where our courage as Christians come from. Christ. To say we're alive by anything but a miracle wouldn't be right. Life is so short, and you wouldn't realize it sometimes. Remember to be thankful in all things. Life is a gift, and so is your time on earth. So I just want to say I'm so thankful for having an amazing father. Love you, Dad. And I also want to thank God, too, for saving us. That experience, my son's message, changed me, slowed me down, redefined success, helped me to find surrender in a new kind of lifestyle. And I became a better father, a better husband, because I finally began to discover what matters. The experience changed my life. It stripped away the noise and reminded me that peace doesn't come from having control. Amen. Peace comes from surrender. Amen. Let's look at this application I'm going to give for you guys today. Just simple, but remember this. Live surrendered and find peace in what really matters. We love you guys. God bless.
Is that a good word? I think we, many of us, myself included, need to take a look at what matters and also just take a look at what are things that I'm still trying to maintain control of and surrender to God. If we could all just stand as we close this morning, I think that's a question that we should ask ourselves just each and every day. Am I living surrendered, or am I trying to control outcomes in my life? Instead of just, God, whatever you want, whatever you desire, I surrender to you. And this morning, with the time that we have left, if we could just, everybody bow your heads and close your eyes. It takes that initial step of first surrendering your life to Jesus and declaring him to be Lord of your life and your Savior. So if you are here this morning and you have not made that initial decision to say, Jesus, I need your forgiveness for my sins, and I surrender my life to you. I know now that I can't do this without you. So if you are here this morning and you want to make that decision, could you just raise your hand? Is there anybody like that this morning who says, I need to surrender control. I need to surrender my life to Christ. Is there anybody like that this morning? I see that hand. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? Okay, we're going to... And this is for those online as well. So if you're online and you're like, I need to do this. I need to once and for all surrender my life. We're going to pray this prayer together so you can just repeat after me. Father God, thank you for loving me so much that you gave your son, Jesus, to die for me. Jesus, thank you for willingly giving your life to pay for my sins. Please forgive me of all my sins and help me to live for you. I surrender my life to your will from this day forward by your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I want to encourage you, if you made that decision this morning, the next steps is to get water baptized, get baptized in the Holy Spirit, sign up for a Fresh Start class, which kind of walks you through the next steps of how to live out this life of surrender to Christ. And so, let's see, we do have a few minutes, so if I could have the prayer team come on forward. If you need prayer for anything, please come forward, get prayer. And if you made that decision, come tell somebody that you gave your life to Christ and that they can give you some materials to help you. But we're just going to finish in a little bit of worship this morning.